the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go?
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own beds and different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. General Nash here for the KZFR Without a Roof radio program for November 2nd, 2016. On behalf of all the fine folks that are working on the Runaway Homeless Youth Task Force here in Butte County, I'm pleased to read this proclamation that was read at Chico City Council yesterday. City of Chico Proclamation, Homeless and Runaway Youth Month. Whereas Homeless and Runaway Youth Month is a time for service providers, researchers, policymakers, and community members to come together in raising awareness of the homeless youth crisis. And whereas more than 200,000 youth under the age of 24 years old are homeless in California, and between 1.6 and 2.8 million, that's 2.8 million youth nationwide run away or become homeless in a given year, and homeless youth face significant barriers to meeting basic needs, including access to shelter and medical care, have lower rates of high school graduation, and are at increased risk for mental health problems, including depression, anxiety, and suicide. And whereas Chico youth are vital community assets and resources, bringing unique knowledge, idealism, skills, perspective, and creativity to the community. And whereas the citizens of Chico, California are the key to ending youth homelessness by acting as mentors and role models for youth, guiding them toward available resources, productive choices, and creating opportunities for youth to successfully transition into adulthood. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mark Sorensen, mayor of the city of Chico, on behalf of the Chico City Council, do hereby recognize November 2016 as homeless and run. All right, Guillermo Mash here. Welcome to the Without a Roof radio program. Before I turn it over to Randall, who's going to have a couple of words to say on that proclamation that was read yesterday, I just want to add the fact that anywhere from 800 to 1,200 youth are homeless in our school systems here in Butte County. So it's not just a nationwide regional, but it's a very much localized issue. So welcome to the studio, Randall Stone. And how was the tone and everything yesterday for the proclamation, and some comments on that would be awesome.
Well, the tone itself was supportive. Look, we recognize as a community that youth homelessness is a significant issue.
But more importantly, what we notice as a community is, and as a city, is that the type of crossover that occurs with these social problems in our community really transmutate across the system. So when we're dealing with homeless youth, in many cases we're dealing with foster youth then that age out of the system and then become subject to other problems and other social problems, which end up costing communities money. And that's, I think, what the bottom line that a lot of people don't understand is that this still ends up costing a community money. If you just want to look at pure dollars and cents, we end up paying bills for these impacts citywide, countywide, statewide.
And you pay more than if they were housed. That's the important issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad you brought that up, Bill, Bob. We are paying these bills no matter what as a community, whether that's hospital expense, law enforcement, jail time, wasted spinning in the court system. I don't know how much it costs per court case, but it's outrageously expensive. And there's just no need or reason to be paying that when there are better solutions.
Housing.
Cheaper.
Nothing ends homelessness like a house.
Yeah, and so, just real quick out of that, also, when they end up in the court system, they end up owing money that they can't afford to pay in the first place. Many times they don't have the education, so many other issues, and then they end up with a bill as well at the end of their court system.
You got it.
So for people just joining, we are dedicating the entire show to Chico Housing Action Team. We're fortunate to have Bob Trouse, a founding member here in the studio. He's been on the show a couple of times, Without a Roof, and Peace and Social Justice. And you brought a couple of friends. We're calling these segments Friends of Bob Trouse. So maybe we can do a quick introduction, then I can move forward on a little clip I'm going to play. Welcome to the show, guys.
Introduce yourself.
What's your names? What's your guys' names?
My name is Terry, and my husband is Pony Green.
Awesome. So what we're going to do is Bob Trouch and I were fortunate enough. We went down to 14 Forward. It was a tiny house community down in Marysville, Yuba County, that literally had cleared a bunch of homeless camps, and they came up with a, quote-unquote, a transitional community down there, a tiny house community of sheds. And we were fortunate to go down there and do a whole segment of interviews. But this one's really cool in the fact that Bob does the interview, and I'm just recording, but it really tees up a lot of the conversation that we're going to have with Bob and Randall and in Bob's friends on master lease and how we need to be making sure people are indoors and not out on People Powered Radio.
To change in society and jobs, we need homes, small homes for people.
Right.
And how are you looking at addressing that here? I mean, this is wonderful, but how are you addressing the next step as to actually create
right.
tiny homes or communities where people can actually stay as long as they need to, whether it's transitional by choice or whether it's I'm very happy in this space and I can stay here.
Right. So we're working to put together a development group that will include the Housing Authority and some of the builders that are local to address some of those affordable housing issues for the longer term. And what that looks like yet will depend on what the group kind of puts together and what they... But we understand that this is very, like a small slice of what needs to happen, so... Yeah.
So how are you going to deal with the county as far as code and variances? I mean, it's really difficult to get people to move forward on those things because many homeowners say, hey, wait, you're reducing the value of my property by having these things anywhere in our area. If you have a home that's 100, 200, or even 400 square feet, you're reducing the value of my property. You feel that you can address that with the county supervisors and the city council here to actually go to their code enforcement and the planning commission to get the changes necessary to have that happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so code enforcement has actually been part of our project since the very beginning. I think everybody understands that something has to happen, and the status quo is no longer working. There, in order to change our outcomes, we have to change the way that we're delivering services. So I think that I'm sure that our Board of Supervisors is on board with that. And even in the city of Marysville is also on board with doing what's necessary to allow for change. And I think
so would this come from the private sector, or would this come from the city or county, like as far as land available to move forward with projects like that? Or would that just come from the private community that is, that is profit-based versus... care-based?
Right, so that's a good question. And moving forward, I think that because we're putting this together, this group, that's going to include different, like, counties, I mean, the county organizations as well as the nonprofits. So I think we're going to put our heads together and say, what can we do? I think we're pulling from all of our resources.
So you'll be pulling in the building community as well.
Absolutely.
All right, back live in the studio, and maybe just a quick question to tee up for you, Bob, before we go talk about master lease and other things, but what kind of things you've been working on with Chico Housing Action Team and the Planning Commission and different folks in the housing community here in Chico?
Well, one of the big things, obviously, is we brought Lloyd Pendleton to town to talk about how successful housing people as quickly as possible can help the community, help save money, help police resources, interaction with the police, interaction with the jail, interaction with the court, interaction with the hospital, interaction with the fire department. So we know that housing first, the sooner you get someone into housing, the better they have, the more potential they have for success and to reintegrate into society. So that's one of the things we're working with. And a quick note about CHAT. CHAT actually has three programs. One is housing first, where we're trying to move forward and actually building community for homeless people and get them off the street. The other is Safe Space. We actually start that December 4th this year, and we'll have 3 months of housing people at night where they get food. Many times they'll be able to get a shower, be able to sleep for the night inside. And we're doing a master lease program, which we're going to be talking about here. We have some people here who actually are part of our master lease program.
Yeah, so Randall, maybe a question for you. I know Bob has shared just a little bit, background. You've helped him a little bit. I mean, you work in the affordable housing industry. Maybe you give our listeners a little take from the city council chair on the affordable housing situation here in Chico.
Well, statewide, it's trying to claw its way back to figure out where its placement is post redevelopment agency dissolution. So where a lot of this financing came from were redevelopment agency funds that would partner cash gap financing is what it's referred to, and it fills the gap between private financing, municipal financing, which was through the RDA, and then federal or state tax credits. And those can be used for rental or home-based projects, owner-occupied projects. There's home funds. There's a number of different funding programs, but what I wrote my master's thesis on this was housing economics and housing affordability, and there's a disconnect between that the local community gap financing and the state is still scrambling to figure out how to fund that, and so it falls and it burdens communities like Chico. You know, we're 92,464 people. We're big, but we're not big enough that we get absorbed by the bridge housing folks that have lots of money and lots of housing available. But we have a larger homeless problem than we do in, say, Elk Creek, you know, where it's much easier to address that problem and can be done by a local community. So that's where we have this quagmire, this problem of trying to address affordability with local dollars. And in a community like Chico, that becomes a challenge. It's not impossible. And in fact, there are some great things coming up on the horizon.
But we are housing challenged. I mean, with less than 2% occupancy availability, we have a real problem with that. So we need more housing, and we need have to look at that as well.
I've been using Marbert's term, Robert Marbert. He used the term functionally zero, vacancy rates functionally zero, because you've got to clean the apartment, you've got to turn it over, you've got to put it on Craigslist, so it's functionally zero.
To give you some idea, I develop affordable housing communities, mm-hmm. and when I don't swing a hammer, I'm a finance guy, and our fudge factor, the lowest that we can go that the bank allows us to use is 5%. We have a 1.8% vacancy rate in the city of Chico, and that's something that happens in college communities like Chico, but it's even worse than that. Throughout the state of California, municipalities are disincentivized to provide housing. The reasons for that are myriad. You're talking Proposition 13 and other municipal funding processes, the way we fund private development. You know, all of those are a mix and a reason why that vacancy rate is so low. Throw in a college community and you're devastated even more so.
So when we transition to the wonderful programs you guys have been doing, it's industry terms called master lease, where the nonprofit Chico Housing Action Team holds the lease and then they lease sublease to the different people. And you've got like a couple of homes. Anyway, tell us what you got going on.
Exactly what you said, Bill. We basically go to a landlord, we say we'd like to rent this home, and we tell them what we're doing with it. We're going to have people who are formerly homeless move into it, and we will take care of it. We'll bring services to it. We'll make sure that the place is kept clean and neat. We'll make sure that there's no problems, and it's going to be much better than having, actually in this case we're talking about college students, much better than having a group of college students in those units. So we rent the place, and then we basically sublet it to people who are homeless and are looking for a home. We have two people right here, and I'd love to have them, if they're willing to share a little bit of their story about where we found them, so to speak, and where they are now and what they're doing in their lives, whether they have jobs, what's going on.
Yeah, jump on up to the mic, or roll on up to the mic. We're in chairs here.
Well, pretty much what we did was, we came out to Chico. We both got jobs. And it was just so hard when you're homeless to be able to save up money, get a deposit, you know, first and last months. And, you know, it's almost impossible. You know, you're spending money on motel rooms and stuff like that. And luckily we were able to meet Bob and the rest of the chat team, you know, and with their program, they were able to just move us in, and it just made everything easier, you know, because you can't do it at a homeless shelter. You know, it's almost impossible with curfews and stuff like that, even if you have a job. So, and that was it. I mean, we just came here with nothing. We were trying to make something, and now we're doing great. You know, we're both working. She's almost full-time. I'm full-time, you know, and it's all because we had a home. You know what I mean? We probably would have lost our jobs if we didn't have a house.
Yeah, everything starts with the home.
When we met them, they were actually sleeping in a tent, I believe.
On the sidewalk, right. Yeah.
Right. And having to clean themselves up, trying to make it to work by walking to work every morning, rain, shine, whatever. This gave them that opportunity to reintegrate, and they have. They've done a tremendous job. They're cleaning up their life, I think, from what we see, and have become real partners in this community.
Yeah, we used to wake up, and we'd have to get up first thing in the morning because you don't want to get caught sleeping on the sidewalk. You know what I mean? And then we have our suitcases with all of our clothes and properties. We walk to any fast food place that's open, make sure we have a couple bucks, get a coffee, go bird bath in the bathroom, get in, because I had a job where I had to wear a collared shirt, slacks, and stuff like that, just make sure I got cleaned up for that day's work. And we did it every day for, what, like 3 months? Close to 3 months, you know? It was tough, but we did it, and we'd walk, you know, with our suitcases.
How long you guys been living in the Master Lease program for chat?
Since September of last year.
Oh, cool.
Over a year, yeah.
Cool. Nice. The first house? They call it the first
house? Our first house, 14 months, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that mic's not working as good. I mean, I'm going to quit using that mic. That mic, I've had a lot of trouble with that mic.
I'm trying to speak up. I don't want to yell.
It's really. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to an underwriter and fix this mic problem because I don't like the fact that you guys are like sounding hollow here on People Powered Radio. Vital Roof Radio program is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by locally owned Broadway Heights. Serving California cuisine overlooking downtown Chico on the corner of 3rd and Broadway. Voted best in Chico. Broadway Heights serves award-winning appetizers, salads, focaccia sandwiches, pizza, dinner entrees, desserts, beer and wine, and happy hours from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. with drink and pizza specials. Open every day at 11 a.m. upstairs at 300 Broadway. Broadway Heights also has a private room for parties, bridal showers, groups, and business meetings. Got a little hungry reading that. Shout out Broadway Heights here on People Power.
We were back.
All right, man. We regrouped here, man. We got a mic that's down. So we got Bob's friends here, man. They're on the main mic, man. They're on the board. They're like programmers here at KZFR. Welcome to KZFR. So I'd like to hear from you, ma'am. Tell us a little bit about your story, your name, and maybe something to add.
My name is Terry, and like my husband said, we came here and we struggled, and we were able to meet Chad at, I believe it was at the Jesus Center.
Jesus Center.
Yeah, and we talked with Will, I think it was first. Mm. And that was just like a blessing. I mean, what my husband said is true. You know, it's hard to get ready and go to work and bird bath and all this. It gets real frustrating. You have to keep it together and just keep on doing it to survive. So,
and the thing is with us, the way we were able to even get jobs is we go to the Jesus Center. We use the resources that they have. We use the computer. We put our resumes online. We weren't just walking around homeless all day, you know. We were trying to be productive and do something, you know. And it did pay off. It did pay off. But it still was a struggle. Until we had a home, I mean, it was a struggle. And it was hard, you know. And it was stressful for both of us. But we made it. And luckily, we were able to meet them. And, you know, and again, the Jesus Center helped out a lot, you know. Resources, clothes, stuff like that.
Yeah, we were helping out a gentleman. He's going to be on Youth for Justice, our premier show tomorrow, man. And he was an intern at Youth for Justice. But anyway, he spent 4 months looking for a home, and just at the wire, the day before his TIBRA voucher. Same kind of thing. He's out every day. He actually has physical jobs. You know, he's out there looking. And that's what most people are. They're out there looking because you'd rather be someplace other than sleeping on a cold, hard sidewalk.
And there's a lot of people that can't look because of various reasons, whether it's physical disability, mental disability, and they're not going to get jobs. And we need to be looking at those people as well. And in some of our houses, we do have people in those situations. And these guys live with some of them right now.
We got a couple of roommates, yeah, that can't. You know, it's hard. But, you know, I look at it like, you know, I look at these vets and stuff that are standing on the corners, you know, and hurting, you know, and I don't know. I don't understand it, how people can't help them, you know. There's got to be something for them.
One thing I'd toss up. Oh, go ahead.
They should be the first to be taken care of, I think, and in many ways, so it's just sad.
It is. You know, one thing I want to make sure that the listeners know, when we say housing first, that means you give someone a house, quote unquote, and you have a process to set up, but it's not like they have a date that they have to move out. And you know, you literally give them a home. Like I'm in a HUD-VASH home. It's like, here, you've got a voucher, you've got this place, and you can stay here as long as you can meet, you know, the lease requirements. So maybe you can speak a little bit to that, Bob. How this is not a transitional housing community per se. It literally houses people, and
well,
if that's where they want to stay, they stay.
There's many programs, Bill. Right. There's many programs and many answers for homelessness and many problems with homelessness. What one of the our points was, I guess then we have three programs under that umbrella of chat, three programs. But the Housing First program and the Master Lease is we want people to get into a house as quickly as possible. We know that there's less drug use, less alcohol use, a better potential to work it out and stay in that house and then find a job or get the services. We can help people get on SSI if there's a reason for them to be on SSI. We can help them get general assistance. We can, whatever it happens to be, we can bring services to them. We try and work with the behavioral health. So it's a program where, and one of the things we also want to do actually is, at a certain point, we talk to the landlords, because we're master leasing, and say, hey, can these guys now sign the lease? And it's now their house. Whether they stay there forever, that's great. We want them to be able to have a permanent home and know that they're not going to be chased out of there or lose it.
And on top of that, that's the great thing about Chat. Like, when we moved in there, it ain't like everything's in Chat's name. You know, we take on responsibility of electricity. It's in our name. You know, cable, it's in our name. Everything is in our name except for the lease, you know. But, yeah, that's the thing that they've always taught us, is eventually we get to a point to where it's transferred over to us. So it ain't like you're staying there for a certain period of time and then leaving.
Or if you want to move somewhere else, you move.
You can.
It's
exactly.
A health situation.
Because it would help.
Or save money and buy a house. Put a down payment on a house. At this point, they're able to do that because of the rent structure. They can start, once they have full-time jobs and are getting there, they can start saving money. They can look forward to actually being homeowners again. So those are important factors. And what we're trying to do is help them build up that history so that people, when they look at them, because that's so important in any community, they have to have a history of being able to pay, showing the history. So we're helping them to do that.
Yeah, and I talked to Will, and he's another member of Chat, and he even said after a while, you know, they'd actually even help, you know, to co-sign for a place. Like, if your family wants to go get a place, they'll help co-sign, you know, because they know you after a couple years, you know.
And it's shared accountability. There's nobody that is being just left for somebody else to take care of their business, because there's so such a tremendous breadth of need at various different stages, both of the problems that are causing homelessness, as well as their steps to get out of that. It's shared accountability along the way until such time as they're capable of letting go and flying on their own.
And these guys know they can call us anytime, day or night, and they do.
It's pretty amazing.
We love you, Bob. That's why.
That's why they're friends of Bob. This is a little segment we're going to do. Bob Trouse and Friends. Question for you, Randall. You know, you've worked in the affordable housing industry. You've got a background in that. You said you wrote a master's thesis in that subject area. What do you see happening in the next couple of years to get this functionally zero vacancy rate to something that's more palatable for a healthy community?
Well, we've got to get serious about addressing the problem in our community. I mean, every single community in the state of California knows that in order to solve this problem, it must be a community-wide effort. It must be a county-wide effort. The county has wraparound services, and we need to coordinate better between the individual cities. Now, every single community that's had some measure of success in this area of just housing homelessness and housing first, they've started with that model. Now, there's very different ways that each county in the state has addressed this, and states throughout the country as well. The bigger risk for me as a policymaker is not that there's some money that's needed to find an individual house. I don't see problems with that. I know I'm a practitioner. We built an $8 million apartment complex, housing 38 units of safe, decent, and sanitary housing. And we did that in the city of Chico. So the money is available. What's far more problematic, I provide housing for people that are workforce housing. These are people with jobs that otherwise need a subsidy, a helping hand to make ends meet. But that isn't the only model that's out there. And in fact, more disastrous is it's not the only model that can exist in a community. Otherwise, you're failing. So we know we need housing first. We know we need some type of tiny house village or tent city. I'm not concerned with what that is. In San Diego, it's an industrial building. I think what we do is we get so caught up about, well, I don't want this in my community, right, or I don't want that, or I don't want homeless people in my community. Guess what? They're here, and they have been here for decades. We're not solving anything by presuming that we can push people off or get them out of town or pull the red carpet, I heard one policymaker say. I mean, it just doesn't apply. We know in San Diego, very wealthy, gentrified communities didn't believe that they had a homeless problem. And the homelessness czar in the county and city of San Diego said, yes, you do, and here it is. And you would find out a community with 40,000 residents has, you know, 600 people that are homeless in its community, and their policymakers had no idea that it existed. So what worries me is not individual projects that we can develop or individual housing programs, Housing First, Tiny House Village. What concerns me are twofold. One, the political will to truly address this problem. And the funding sources that really provide the bulk of this gap financing right now is really coming from private sector. I mean, there's cap and trade, and there's increment financing to replace what RDA used to have. But that takes a vote of the people for the bonds that are issued. And I see a 10-year horizon before a drop of that ever hits the community. So what concerns me, again, is political will first and foremost. Then we can tackle the smaller financial issues and work with our private partners and nonprofit partners in order to make this stuff happen. But political will is really...
I think that's it. For me, it's political will, because the reality is we had, when we talked to staff on the county level and on the city level, we know that the staff is up for it, but they're saying, and it's a fact, the city council, the county supervisors, the mayors, we have to know that they're behind us before we move forward. And we have to know that it's not going to be pulled on us after 2 years of election time. Well, sorry, we have a different policy now. Well, they have to know that the cities and counties, mothers and fathers, and the Chamber of Commerce, all those organizations, as Lloyd Pendleton would say, the people above the silos, you know. Yeah. We need the people who can make those decisions and make those decisions stick, because we would be moving forward with these policies right now if we had that political will, and we don't have it. Because the money is out there. We talked to the head of the hospital, right? They talked about $28 million last year was spent on homelessness, right? $28 million of people coming in. If we had $5 million of that, what could we do with it? If we could reduce it. We know in our houses that we have, our master lease, we don't have people going to the hospital any longer. So that's what we need to do, is convince those people to start directing some of that money towards housing.
So before we kind of break, I was going to give Randall the last minute to kind of talk about his campaign. He's running for re-election here in Chico. But I'd like to, like, really, really fast, do you guys, the guys, friends of Bob Trouse, do you have one word that would describe your experience at the Master Lease Program, the
Grateful.
Chat Houses? Grateful.
Blessed.
Grateful and blessed. Why would that be? Why would that be? You got any?
We were given an opportunity that, I mean, for a long time we didn't think anybody cared. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then finally somebody comes along. And it's just, it's amazing.
Awesome. Turn it over to you, Randall. You got a couple of minutes to kind of talk, maybe wrap this up, and then talk a little about your campaign.
Sure. The types of things that I work on, I'm the president of the League of California Cities Sacramento Valley Division, which represents the 57 cities in the North State. And so I'm working with all of the mayors, all the council members and staff in all of those communities to see what works and what doesn't work. And that's just in the North State. I'm also a member of the statewide committee, Housing, Community, and Economic Development, which addresses these various problems and lobbies the legislature to give us some assistance with this. And so next week, early morning right after election on Tuesday, I'm heading down to Newport Beach, and we're going to spend 3 days working on the three top big issues that the league recognizes are statewide problems, and we're going to focus on lobbying the legislature and coming up with solutions. So that's the type of work that I'm engaged in to get solutions for communities like small Chico, even though, relatively speaking, 92,000 is a pretty large city. So we've got big city problems, small city solutions, and we need more help from the state, and that's what I do. But that's all, you know, after the re-election campaign on Tuesday, November 8th.
But that means everyone must get out to vote. In 2014, the state of California had the lowest voting turnout in probably 50 years. We need to have everyone come out there and vote, city, county, state.
Awesome.
These problems don't get addressed.
They sure don't.
When you're not voting for... when you're not coming out there and voting for the people that you know have the right programs and solutions.
Amen to
and
that, Randall.
Political will.
Gotta wrap it up, guys. Got Non-Human Radio coming in next. One of my favorite shows here on People Powered Radio. I'm going to end it, though. Got a new segment that we're going to play every single week. And thanks again, everyone, for coming in and for listening to People Powered Radio. Start a tradition today on the Without a Roof Radio program by ending this show and every subsequent show thereof with sparks of wisdom from Western Regional Advocacy's Project House Keys, Not Handcuffs Initiative. And here we go. Next time someone tells you people are homeless by choice, ask them why only poor people make that choice. While you're talking with your neighbor, remind them that arrests tickets, citations, and criminalization does nothing, I repeat, nothing to move people out of extreme poverty. In fact, it digs the hole deeper and deeper with each stroke of a law enforcer's pen, and neither does it do a damn thing to house people. If by chance they refuse to take this as the fact it is, gently remind them they got another thing coming. Peace out on people.